Dave, you don't give me my speech.
Sorry.
This is
old. I have to go off of this.
Okay, good. I like him to write me down my words, you know, for the opening sentence. Good morning. The Higher Education Workforce Development Committee will now be in session. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo Day. And we are here to do some confirmations. Let the record reflect there is a quorum present. So we're going to begin by asking Mr. Coles to come forward.
Morning, Chair Bob.
Good morning. Congratulations on the governor's recommendation for you to join the trustees. And I know you've been serving in that role while we have not had the confirmation yet. And so we'd love to hear from... Oh, let there be light.
I need to say more.
No, I guess not. Oh, so if you would just... Oh, thanks. We're still working on it. So if you would just share with us your experience, tell us about yourself. Members may have questions. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair Bonoff, committee members. I'm deeply honored to be named by Governor Dayton to this appointment, and I'd like to explain a little bit about my background and the reasons for my commitment and excitement for this role. I was born here in Minnesota. Raised, went to high school here, went east for college and graduate school, lived in New York, Boston, Denver, and Arizona over my career, but returned here about 25 years ago with babies in tow, and have settled and raised my children here in the state and worked here since then. My background is primarily as a businessman. I owned my own small commercial printing company for many years, separate from the family business that I joined also in the mid-80s, which was the ownership of the Star Tribune newspaper. I worked there at the Star Tribune for many years and became chairman in the early 90s and served as chairman until the company was sold in 1998. Since then, I have run a small family office and investment company on behalf of some family members, which I've described as one of the great part-time jobs that you could ever have. It's given me a phone, a desk, a computer, and the opportunity to engage in the kind of volunteer work that excites me. And I brought a lot of my experience, I think, from business as well as my experience on a wide range of nonprofits in the Twin Cities to bear, which I think helped prepare me well for this role. About a dozen years ago, I became involved in organizing a group called the Itasca Project, which is essentially an ongoing discussion among a group of business leaders, political leaders, foundation, and education leaders in the Twin Cities area to focus our collective attention on what the metro region as a whole needed or might anticipate needing to focus on in order to compete effectively in the 21st century and to maintain the quality of life that we're given so substantially by our forefathers and mothers. That project, which has run now for a dozen years or so, has given me a wide-ranging perspective and over time has drawn me into the education sphere as being one that's absolutely critical to the state of Minnesota. Currently, I serve on the St. Paul Public Schools Foundation Board. I'm a member of the Finance Committee of the Northside Achievement Zone, and I serve on three advisory boards to the University of Minnesota, the Center for Transportation Studies, the Humphrey School of Public Affairs, and the College of Design. And I have found myself increasingly convinced that the future of the state revolves in large measure upon the success and the outcomes that we're able to achieve in our educational systems. So it was with that point of view that I put in my application for this appointment and have been so privileged to be named to this point by the governor.
Well, Mr. Coles, we are so honored that you are here with us, and I have known Jay for at least 20 years, maybe 30, and so really am so thrilled that you, with your broad experience and, you know, you and your family's legacy of philanthropic support for all of Minneapolis and its citizens, we just couldn't be in better hands. So, yeah, it's great to have you here. So questions for Mr. Coles. Senator Sheeran.
Thank you. You've been in the position prior to this time without us acting. For how long now, would you remind me?
The appointment, I think, was mid-August, technically. My first meetings were in September of last year.
Thank you.
And Senator Sheeran.
Yeah, please. Thank you, Madam Chair. So you have some sense now of what the conversations are that are occurring, and what as you listen to that, do you think are the paradigms that need challenging? What are the assumptions that have been made there on which decisions have been made that as you listen and as you're learning rise to a level where you want to create some challenge, not necessarily disagreement, but to review and reconsider assumptions that are being made in the Minsky system?
Mr. Coles.
Thank you, Chair Bonhoff, committee member. It's a wonderful question. It's one that we should ask ourselves routinely. And I'll respond with the proviso that I'm still very much learning, and there is a great deal to absorb. It's a large, complex system, and I don't want to prejudge before I feel confident that I have the information I need. That said, I'd say there are two things that one is that the charting the future goals and ambitions are the right goals and ambitions for MinSCU. I think that is a very valuable process. I believe that it's focus is strategic and appropriate and urgent for the system, and I will do what I can to encourage that process to be fully realized and implemented throughout the system, and I view that as an outcome that requires full participation by all of the members of the MinSCU system. The other thing that I'd say is that MinSCU is still maturing, and probably every agency at some level, no matter how old, is still maturing. We obviously have had a difficult year in some respects in terms of participation in charting the future. That was resolved, I think, in a way that was productive, but also challenging. And one of the areas that I know the trustees and myself are going to be working in the next months and years ahead is making sure that our governance procedures, that our understandings of roles and relationships are well established among ourselves and with the leadership of the system so that we are able to move not only confidently but sensitively and quickly as needed to make the decisions that we need to make in the future.
Mr. Coles, with regard to that, I asked the other members who came before us to speak about the process that was used to bridge the conflict between the the colleges and universities and the chancellor. And in particular, I was surprised by the long-term role the trustees played in the negotiation. I think everybody expected the trustees to play a leadership role because the relationship had broken down so significantly. But unusual from my background, being part of the private sector, to see the board be the negotiating team all the way through the negotiation until, frankly, it was almost over. So can you comment on that?
From my experience, I think the goal of the process always was and continue to be throughout the process to establish the chancellor and his team as the party that the unions were ultimately responsible to and needing to work directly with, that the trustees were not the management of the organization. I was not a part of the small group, so my information is by no means complete. I believe at the conclusion that goal was achieved. But I would say that along the way, and it did take some time, I think it was challenging for all the parties to clarify what was possible in the negotiations and what wasn't. So this is part of my interest going forward in making sure that we clarify and strengthen our understandings.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Klassen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Cowles, thank you for your service. Greatly
yes,
appreciated.
Thank you.
Just a few minutes ago, you talked about MNSCU being a large, complex system.
Yep.
And I think from time to time, as legislators and as a committee, we feel some of that frustration, perhaps, in dealing with a large, complex system. You talked about a few things about governance, roles, clarification. Could you expand upon that? And just perhaps, how do we overcome that size of an organization?
Well, my sense is this has been an issue that from the beginning has been in front of MNSCU, and I think there's been many very successful procedures and protocols put in place, policies to address that. I think there is a healthy mix of local autonomy as well as sort of consolidated accountability from a financial standpoint, from a political standpoint. And I think it's an ongoing process. I do not view MNSCU as broken in any way in that regard. I view it as a system that produces extraordinary results, and that we often overlook that or don't see that as often, because in any large complex system there's always some issue that manages to grab our attention. That said, part of what I think we can do better is continue to improve and explore ways in which we can do a better job balancing these competing interests. And so I think our best days are ahead of us still.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Cowles, have you read the, and it's okay if you haven't, this isn't a test, but have you read the bill that the Senate put forward for this session?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. I just wondered, because we've proposed a level of funding that is, you know, different than what MNSCU asked for, so I just wondered if,
I'm aware of that in rough form.
Okay. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Trustee Cowles, I just want to thank you for visiting Winona a couple months ago. He was on the campus of Winona State University and helped kind of guide a project to fruition for us. So we certainly appreciate that. And just one word of encouragement. As a member who represents a district that has two MNSCU campuses, a four-year and a two-year institution, one of the things I hear on a regular basis from faculty and staff and students and community members is the balance of local autonomy and control at the central office. So I encourage you to just continue to work on that for us and try to strike that that proper balance between the local campuses and the central office. But again, thank you for your visit and thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you, Senator Miller, and I know that's an interest of yours, and I know we will continue to attend to that very closely. It's important to us.
Senator Sheeran.
Thank you. I failed to say thank you to you. I just went right into my question, so my apologies to – I mean, this is a very impressive series of assets that you've built in your life around your own skill sets and that you're bringing them to Minsky. It's just – I'm very grateful that you're willing to do that.
Thank you.
But I'm very concerned about the Minsky system, so my
Good.
So I go right at that. And so, and it's very hard to articulate a question because of the complexity of what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But Minsky is a system is has a very unique role in the state as it relates to who are the students that are served and their unique set of circumstances that they have to deal with as students while they're trying to move through an educational system to move forward in the in their own economy and in our economy. Unique problems there that are very different than the University of Minnesota, where, from my perspective, you get to deal with less complexity in the student population because of their strengths. So I'm worried about that, and the pressure that's placed on this system because of who the population is, important population that we need to get educated. And then we press on the Minsky system the responsibility of helping all these students who are coming in be ready to be at the Minsky system. And this is an enormous concern of mine. And when I'm talking about assumptions, I think we have a number of assumptions about that subject, about the lack of preparedness to begin even the 100-level courses at the university, at the Minsky system, and whose responsibility it is and how that's paid for. And more of that is being placed on the Minsky system itself. And I'm not certain that that should be accepted by the Minsky system. And I wondered if you'd talk a little bit, you don't have to agree or disagree with me, but about this concept and this complex problem that we have before people can even engage in moving forward through Minsky.
Mr. Coles.
Thank you, Committee Chair. I had the honor of participating in the Metro State University commencement last night, and I said to several people, I would have loved to have had my young adult children observe some of the stories and backgrounds of some of these extraordinarily accomplished people and the persistence and perseverance that they had to bring relative to the issues in their life. I think we all need to manage our expectations of what it is exactly Minsky is dealing with. I think Minsky needs to do a good job communicating about that. I think, in turn, we need to recognize that Minsky has a powerful role to play, including illuminating issues that exist in its student population that are outside the Minsky system but affecting performance, you know, on the part of the students within the system. I think what's kind of magical about Minsky is that this is the educational experience that brings young people or people at whatever stage in their lives they're at to a moment when they can realize their dreams, their aspirations. They can provide stability, security for their families, their communities. They can establish themselves as productive adults in a way that virtually no other experience that the community can provide offers. I think it's a terribly important role that we play, and I concur with your concerns about the complexity of the underlying issues and conditions that surround teaching and success. And I commit to working to address them as forcefully as you are concerned.
Trustee Coles, we have a couple provisions within our bill that Minsky has some concerns around, and so I just want to raise them and hope that you would consider helping us bring Minsky to the table with more appreciation for what these provisions are trying to accomplish. So two in particular. One is around the whole remediation aspect, and that's, you know, the broader thing that Senator Sharon was referring to is how many of those students who come in are told they're not yet college ready. And so then they're put on a path where they have to take classes that cost money but yet aren't credit bearing. And by the time they get through that, they often give up in despair with a lot of debt and nothing to show for it. So while we all have this vision of them achieving their dreams and aspirations, the reality is that we then have placed an additional burden on them and leave them less than when they walked in the door, which is obviously not what any of us want to do. And so there are some things happening around the country to try and tackle that in a bold way. And one of the strategies being used is this strategy called co-requisite classes. And so we know Minsky, and they tell us they're doing that at many of their campuses. And the language, Senator Claussen is carrying one part of it, Senator Nelson is carrying another, started out being very directive. You know, we require Minsky to take this approach. There's been a lot of talk, negotiation. It no longer is that. And yet Minsky still does have trepidation because they're concerned that we're going to take away their ability to have students go down a particular path in the way they deem best. I think, you know, we're sort of being heavy-handed in our approach and that, in fact, it won't be constructive. So throughout the conference committee process, we're going to have to resolve this, but I would ask you to really read what's in the bill and see if you can't be perhaps helpful. I know there's a difference between management and the board's role, but even sometimes a gentle word of support from the trustees goes a long way. So that's one piece that there's an issue around. The other is Minnesota has, through the work of this committee and the last biennium, said that we want to have performance metrics. We want to say taxpayer dollars are linked to certain outcomes. And so we understand that it's not practical to have all taxpayer dollars linked in that way. So we started 2 years ago with increasing it to 5% of the appropriation for both University of Minnesota and Minsky was held back and then tied to the accomplishment of certain objectives. And so we understand that that's puts funding at risk and it's not comfortable, and we're in the process of negotiating the terms with Minsky on that as well. So I just put those two pieces forward as things that are very important to this body. We don't know how they'll turn out in the negotiation with the House, although the House with regard to the remediation has similar provisions, so that one is more sure as to where that's going to go. So I'm just asking for your interest in that, and again, just a tiny nudge.
Well, I can confirm that the concerns of the committee are shared by the leadership in Minsky. On both of those topics, we want to improve our performance on key metrics ourselves, and we also seek to minimize or eliminate costly and debilitating remediation practices. That said, my caution is, as you might imagine, that that the leadership and the people closest to the problem are also mindful of these issues. And I can assure you that Chancellor Rosenstone has these issues foremost in his mind. There are a variety of approaches that can be taken in each of these issues, and I believe that a variety of approaches are in fact underway. So while I applaud the concern and the focus of the committee, I would also encourage that to the largest extent possible that the leadership and management of MNSCU be permitted to design solutions and results and communications back to the committee around exactly how best to achieve these outcomes.
Thank you. Very good. Anything else? Ready for a motion, and the motion would be to recommend Trustee Coles be confirmed and forwarded to the full Senate. Senator Sharon.
I'll make the motion.
Very good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee.
And now, yeah, you're good. Thanks. Now we have our two other members up for confirmation. If you would both come to the table, Trustee Michael Ranum and Nancy Sampere. So these members are board members for the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority. And Mr. Ranum, or Trustee Ranum, you've been a part of this since 2002, is it?
That's correct.
Yeah, so welcome to the committee. Please, if you would, share a little bit about the authority, given your role in it, and why you're still willing to come back for another term.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Michael Ranum, and I live in Circle Pines with my wife. We've raised two daughters there, and they're both pursuing graduate degrees in neighboring states. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree from Concordia College in Moorhead and a Master's degree from the Carlson School at Minnesota. I think the thing that I would like you to know about me is in my past, I've served as the Vice President for Finance and Administration at Augsburg College, and in that capacity used the services of the authority to do several tax-exempt financings. And clearly understood at that point how ill-prepared I was to do a transaction of that complexity and of that importance to the institution, and relied heavily on the services of the staff and the resources available through the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority. And then fast forward a few years, and I find myself as the Chief Financial Officer of the Hazelden Foundation in Center City, Minnesota. And Hazelden has facilities in a number of places, including just outside of Portland, Oregon. And in that capacity, we were also doing a tax-exempt financing in the state of Oregon. And I came to realize very clearly that it's not done the same way every place. Oregon's process was just different. And I think I can say with confidence and a bit of Minnesota modesty that we certainly do it better here. It was just more complex, more convoluted, and much more costly for the institution. So I'm very proud to be a member of the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority and have really welcomed the chance to serve in that capacity since 2002.
I think that's all you need to know about. Thank you very much. Thank you. Questions for Trustee Ranum? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. I'm very glad to see, Mr. Ranum, that you have re-upped for your service. As a former colleague of yours on the HEFA board, I can only attest to your comments about how well that organization runs and the service that it provides. I think if this committee is not aware of HEFA and the wonderful service that it provides in tax-exempt bonds for construction projects across our colleges and universities in this state. It is quite remarkable, and the expertise that they bring in, I agree. I don't know how someone could navigate through all that without the expertise that the staff brings and that the board provides. So I just want to publicly thank you for your leadership, and I'm very glad to see that you're coming back.
Thank you.
Trustee Ranum, so you've been chair, vice chair, secretary. What would you be now?
I think I would be just a plain vanilla member.
Got it. Very good. Ms. Sampere.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman Bonhoff and committee members. I'm very pleased and honored to be sitting before you today and talking about my role and how I was appointed to the committee for Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority. A little bit about myself. I'm a lifelong resident of Minnesota. In fact, I was born, reared, and have lived in St. Paul almost all my life. It's where I raised my children. It's where I currently reside. And I'm a graduate of the University of Minnesota. I have an art history degree. So I have a great deal of regard for the liberal arts background, and upon graduation went into a finance position in banking. And I spent most, almost all of my professional employment years in the field of banking, from which I retired in July of 2012. During that time, I had about my time of my employment, I had about 7 years where I was at Hamline Law School, where I worked in placement and career development, and also did some development work. So I think I have a rather unique perspective of the business side of bonding and bond issues, and as well as a perspective of the school, their importance in keeping up their facilities, their enrollment, their matriculation, their diversification, and what they try to do to enhance their enrollment and their student body diversity in their programs. About 20 years ago, I left Hamline and rejoined the finance industry and rejoined banking, and I joined a division there called Corporate Trust. And in that division, the primary role is to administer bond issues. We administered bond issues in Minneapolis for bonds, municipal bonds, and corporate bonds all across the country. And in my role there, to learn the position, I learned how to administer bonds, the technicality of it, collecting the compliance items, arbitrage, rebate, everything that goes into tax-exempt financing. I can open a bond document that's this thick and get right to the core. So in that capacity, I worked heavily with the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority. I attended their meetings. And I also worked with the colleges and universities who brought their bonding issues before the committee as issuer. And as the borrowers, they presented their bonding requests and had it reviewed by the authority members. And so I have the perspective of how and why the facility authority exists, what their role is, and what a great service they provide to our private colleges and universities. Their, I'll call it their oversight, but perhaps the better word is to use their insight into bonding and the thought that goes into it and the process. I worked in the banking division, eventually in business development and sales, where I had the opportunity to work all across the country with all kinds of borrowers, colleges and universities, hospitals, municipalities, every kind of bonding authority you can think of. And in that capacity, I had, as Mr. Ranum has had, the experience of working with authorities in at least a dozen different states. It gave me a very good perspective of how each operates, how their members are selected, how their executive directors are selected, and what service they provide to the members. I can tell you proudly and without any prejudice or bias whatsoever that our Minnesota authority is run efficiently, it's run effectively, it provides a marvelous, almost priceless service to the college and university members. And, of course, this is at no expense to the state of Minnesota. It's taxpayers. It's fully self-supporting. And we should be proud to have an authority that's run so well and so effectively.
Well, thank you very much. And if you were to put into, you know, two sentences the vision of the Higher Education Facilities Authority, how would you do that?
The vision of the
authority? Or mission, yeah.
The mission. I would say I won't say this probably as artfully as it's written in our mission statement, but to provide insight. I don't want to say oversight because that implies compliance and some liability, but insight and support and guidance to the private colleges and universities of higher education in the state of Minnesota as they consider bonding issues and borrowing and looking at the structure of the bond issue, the repayment, the thoughtfulness, their debt structure, their ratings, so that they are fully reviewed as they go to the market and present their bonds for sale.
Thank you. Any questions for Trustee Sampere? Senator Sharon?
It's so nice to see, you mentioned, it's so nice to see Nancy here today. Nancy is a high school classmate of mine.
Oh.
And I'm very proud to say that. She's a fabulous candidate. Thank you, both of you, for bringing the gifts you have to these roles. They are important. And I can tell you, Nancy, who I know better, I'm sorry I can't say that for both, but she was a star in high school as well. So,
very good, Senator.
Thank
Sharon.
You,
no
Senator
surprise.
And likewise. Compliments returned.
Very nice. So, and it's always great to see a woman in finance. Yes, Senator Claussen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. A few years ago, I had a conversation with a college president, and he made the comment, we're no longer building buildings. We don't need to build any more buildings. We need to restructure how we're delivering education. I'm just wondering, have you seen any trends that would indicate in the bonding requests that would indicate things are slowing down in higher education?
I would say that they are slowing down. We haven't had as many presentations for bonding, but I think it's more I'll answer two parts to your question. It's more because of the rate structure, and so we're seeing more refundings because the bonds that are outstanding now were issued at such a higher rate, so they're refunding them. So the colleges and universities are saving quite a bit of money, so we're not seeing the bonding requests. But I don't know, and Elaine, of course, and Mr. Random would have a better perspective of this because they've been members longer, or with the authority longer. But I do think that the colleges and universities certainly are reviewing all sorts of changing how they present their education to their customers, their students, and their delivery system. But I think that there's always the need to enhance the facilities on a campus. I mean, that's the lifeblood of where people meet and gather. So, of course, they're changing their classrooms. They're having to modernize. Any of us who have college students today know that they look at the facilities on the campuses far differently than I did. I certainly was not looking at any workout facilities and great campus unions and so forth. So that's sort of the lifeblood of the campus. But to your point, Senator, yes, they are looking very differently at how they're enhancing those buildings, maybe not always building new buildings, but science buildings and new curriculums that they're offering and enhancing those to provide a different delivery system. That's my perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you. So are we ready to entertain a motion?
The motion would be
to confirm
both. Can we confirm both in one?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Michael Ranum and Ms. Nancy Sampere, as
trustees of the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority.
Thank you. That's my motion.
So moved. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted. Congratulations. Thank you very much for your service, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, members, committee will be adjourned. I just want the committee to know that we will begin meeting in conference today at 3 o'clock in the State Office Building, room 500. For those who aren't on the conference committee, you're always welcome to join us. So committee is adjourned.